Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC, coming up in about 15 minutes, why President Obama is becoming the first since JFK to visit Puerto Rico. Coming up in about a half hour, why the bank UBS may move from Stamford, Connecticut, back to Manhattan. We'll have a call in for people from Stamford to tell us the pros and cons of living in your city. Apparently, they can't attract enough 20-somethings to go to work in the finance sector in Stamford. Surprise. Thought people want to get out of the city if they have a place to work there. Well, apparently not. So we'll have a call in on UBS maybe moving back from Stamford. We'll talk about President Obama becoming the first in 50 years to go to Puerto Rico. But right now, a union leader reaction to Governor Cuomo's pension reform proposals, which include raising the retirement age for state and local workers to 65, ending the practice of working lots of overtime in your final years to have it pad your pension for the rest of your life, and more. These would only apply to future hirees. We should mention that before those of you who are state and municipal workers now and county workers, et cetera, get too nervous. Everyone on the job now remains covered by whatever the existing pension rules are. This is actually guaranteed in the New York State Constitution. But this would be a big change for future workers. And with me for this is Greg Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237, which represents hundreds of occupational titles in city agencies, including school safety agents, taxi and limousine inspectors, cleaners at the Jacob Javits Convention Center, heating plant technicians, X-ray and EKG technicians, city attorneys, lawyers represented by the Teamsters, emergency service workers, CUNY campus peace officers, and more. And also very relevant, Greg Floyd is a trustee to the board of the New York City Employee Retirement System. Greg, thanks for coming on again. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you for having us back, and good morning to all.
And there are Teamster lawyers in New York City.
Yes, they are.
The widespread opinion now is that pension costs are rising dramatically in recent years, and some of these reforms, like the ones I mentioned in the intro, are just common sense fairness compared to what most taxpayers get in their private sector jobs. So is the governor on the right track here, in your opinion?
Well, let me say, before I talk about that, let me just tell our listeners the reason for the high pension contribution payments by the municipalities is because back in 2001, Pataki and Giuliani, both of them, decided to have this pension restart, and they put less money into the pension systems and allowed the employees to negotiate and get a 3% reduction for those having 10 years or more in service going forward, not contributing to their pensions. There was less money put into the pension system. There was less money invested. Plus, in 2001, we had a downturn. In 2008, we had the biggest financial meltdown this country's seen since the Great Depression. You couple those events together, and the pension systems lost 25%. That is the sole reason why the pension payments are high going into the future for the next few years. And no one else is talking about that. So this was created by us in the financial industry having a bad market. That's the reason for this pension cost.
But the New York Times, which endorsed the governor's plan, and, you know, we should mention that the New York Times editorial page criticizes Cuomo on some other things like the property tax cap and lowering taxes on the wealthiest New Yorkers, but it has endorsed the pension package, and it described the basic conditions this way. It said over the last decade, the state's pension costs have risen tenfold, and the cities have risen nearly eightfold, largely because lawmakers were eager to curry favor with public employee unions, which are among their most generous campaign contributors. So do you dispute that those are also factors in getting to where we are now?
No, those are not factors. The pension reform was initiated by Governor Pataki and Mayor Giuliani. The unions could not have thought about a new pension reform. Those two heads of the state and the city decided that they want to put less contributions into the pension system. In order to do that, they came up with these pension enhancers, and they negotiated with the unions, put less money in, and allowed the unions to get a more generous contribution from the pension system. And that is why. But no one's talking about that. They want to pretend that the unions came up with this and we have courage, favor. None of that's true. I'll go back to 2001. What I can say going forward, the pension contributions by the new hires are double of what we're paying now, almost triple. You take into effect that our first contract under Mayor Bloomberg, he reduced the salaries by 15% for the first 2 years for new hires. They get two less vacation days, two less sick days. Night shift differential begins at 8 p.m. instead of 6 p.m.
All city workers?
All city workers, except our union. I'll explain that after I finish this sentence. But that's 10 hours a week less night shift differential for those working the afternoon shift. That's 40 hours less a week in night shift differential. Those new hires have already lost salary and those benefits. Now you're going to ask them to pay higher pension contributions rate. You're going to find at least a 25% reduction in salary and benefits for those new hires to start with. In Local 237, we took 0.25% less in salary wages for those years, and that's going forward, so that we would not have to lose those benefits. So we actually paid for those benefits going forward.
And those are actually, and I'm glad you brought them up, which I was also going to do, I guess the least sexy for the news media parts of this story. We can talk about but maybe the most costly for the new workers. We could talk about the retirement age going up from 57 or 62 to 65. People can get their heads around that pretty easily and have an opinion about it. We can talk about not padding pensions by working a lot of overtime and banning that practice for the last few years of employment before retirement. But then you get to these additional few percent contributions from the employee's paycheck to the pensions. And what I think they would go up, I don't have these numbers in front of me, it would go up a couple of percentage points, but that's cash out of the pockets of including a lot of low-paid workers.
It's significant because most of our members at Local 237 do not make a salary of $100,000 a year. We have school safety agents. Their average salary is $28,000 a year. And we're not talking about a significant amount of money. And the pension is deferred wages. They don't make the salary they can make right now competitively, but they get a pension at the end of their career. The pension is a deferred wage increase. It's a promise to the workers that when you retire, we're going to take care of you for the rest of your life if you have a reduced salary right now. And I don't see how raising the pension age, raising contributions is going to create jobs right now. It's going to save the municipalities money right now. I don't see us dealing with this budget problem right now, because what we're talking about is we're talking about somebody who has not been hired immediately, who's going to have to work at least 30 to 35 years. So we're talking about 35 years from now that this problem will, or this situation right now will be enacted.
Union leader Greg Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237, our guest. He represents hundreds of occupational titles and city agencies, as I said before, ranging from school safety agents to taxi and limousine inspectors to city attorneys to cleaners at the Jacob Javits Convention Center and on and on. We have just a few minutes for phone calls, but listeners, do you want to weigh in, whether you're a city worker or a taxpayer or both? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Do you think these changes are fair, unfair? Are you angry at the governor? Or are you angry at the unions? And again, to go to that New York Times editorial endorsing the governor's changes, and again, these numbers that the state's pension costs have risen tenfold over the last decade, and the cities have risen nearly eightfold. And they frame it this way. While school children crammed into crowded classrooms and poor families lost medical coverage, public employees preserved better benefits than those in many other states and did far better than private sector workers. So considering those things, considering that the fiscal crisis is real and that the challenge in the coming years for escalating pension costs is going to be real no matter how we got there. I guess the state has to ask itself and the city has to ask itself and the other localities, where is it fair to find the money? And so if they see things like people retiring at 57 when that's not going on, you know, at all really in the private sector, that they turn around and say, okay, this is something we can change, and it's not really killing people.
I say in order to swallow a bitter pill, you need some water. The water would have been a millionaire's tax. I see shared sacrifice there. If you say to the employees and the city workers and the state workers, you know what? We enacted a millionaire's tax. We want you to sacrifice a little bit. People understand that. But when you let the millionaires walk away, and there's a $5 billion that walked away, $5 billion. And then you want to balance the books on the backs of the working class people. And now you want to raise the SUNY tuition. Now you're going after the students. We need shared sacrifice in this country. Everybody needs to come to the table. Everybody needs to sacrifice. Everybody, including the millionaires.
But would you make that deal? I hear the millionaires' tax invoked as the answer, the solution to so many things. It would have been if they had it this year, something like $2 billion out of the $10 billion state deficit. That's not going to end all the pressure on school aid cuts from the state. That's not going to end all the pressure on the pension. It's not going to end the pressure on SUNY for tuition increases. It could ease it a little bit in each of those areas, or maybe a lot, if all of that money got devoted to one area.
Help.
But would you really make that deal? If they enacted the millionaire's tax, it wouldn't really fundamentally change the pressure on the pension system, wouldn't it? So would you really then turn around and say, yes, okay, because they're doing their fair share, we're going to say yes to these proposals?
The proposals wouldn't have to be as draconian. And we would have shared sacrifice. And then we could sit down and we could talk about negotiating and people understand. So maybe you don't go to 65, you go to 62. You know, it's shared sacrifice. Like I said, people understand shared sacrifice. But when you have groups of people that sit back and all they do is point their fingers and say, no, you're going to have to make the sacrifice. People can't understand that, and people can't tolerate that.
How about the overtime question? The governor wants pensions based on base pay, not working a zillion hours of overtime just before your retirement. Do you object to that?
No. You know what? This came up in the 1980s when Mayor Koch was the mayor, and he enacted the system. He put a cap on overtime in the city of New York, where in our contracts you can only make a certain amount above your salary. I believe it's 15-20% above your salary. After that, you have to get special permission from the Office of Labor Relations to work overtime. Those things have been in place in New York City for over 20 years. Well, no one's talking about that. Do people get around it? Yes, but in order to get around it, you need cooperation from your agency head, which is the commissioner.
Let's get a couple of calls in here before we run out of time. Then we're going to talk about why President Obama is becoming the first U.S. president since JFK to visit Puerto Rico. And probably does have something to do with his reelection campaign, even though people in Puerto Rico may not vote.
But they do in New York.
In the general president. Shh, don't give it away. Of course, New York's not going to be in play, but who knows? Maybe
everyone who lives in New York,
yes,
from Puerto Rico.
I understand. Karen in Manhattan, retired school teacher. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I am a retired teacher, and I just want to support strongly the statement that my pension is my deferred wages. When my friends who were not teaching and were not working for your state government were busy inviting us along to do wonderful things, we couldn't afford to all those years. And now those same people are angry that I have a pension. And it's just, you know, I have many credits beyond my master's degree. My husband is a lawyer who had worked with government. We just never were paid commensurate with the education that we had. And
But 57?
I'm sorry?
57, age 57, to retire with a pension? Is that sustainable going forward?
With however many years that are required, how many mm-hmm. years, 30 years that are required, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's your case.
Well, my case is right now, in terms of teachers, right now the more senior teachers are being pushed into the, in New York City, the absent teacher reserve, because nobody wants the more senior teachers, because the statement is they can get two brand new teachers for the
right.
salary of one experienced one.
Yes.
So
that's
after a
issue.
Teacher spends an entire lifetime, helping the children that they have been teaching, nobody wants them anymore, and you would deny them a pension?
Karen, thank you very much. And they're not talking about denying at that age, yes. Thank you, Karen. Scott in Soho, you're on WNYC. Hi, Scott.
Yeah, hi. I just heard the comment about shared sacrifice and things like that. And, you know, when you look at, like, our educational system, it's not the teachers that should be penalized. It's the bureaucracy that runs it, which is completely pathetic. And it wastes more money than anything. And the other thing I wanted to say is, if you took, like, a flat tax, I mean, is it fair if somebody makes $100,000 a year and then has to pay $15,000? I mean, the person that makes $1 million a year is paying $150,000 in taxes. And we don't think that's fair? I mean, that sounds pretty unfair to me if we're using the same subways and bike lanes and things like that in the city.
Well, you do make a point there, but you got to keep in mind, when we get wage increases, we also do it on a percentage basis. So the person making $4,000 gets the same as the person making $40,000 in percentage. But if you look at the percentage is greater on the higher salary.
Well, you can play with percentages all you want, but it's still a whole lot more money, isn't it? I mean, and I'm bringing this from a person. I employ 25 people in New York City. I deal with the New York City bureaucracy, which is just anti-business. For one thing, you know, I have a little restaurant. All the artists and actors and things like that come in and work as waiters and bartenders, you know, they're making their dreams happen here. And then I'm getting hosed over while I have to go deal with a bureaucrat sitting in an office telling me how to run the business when they have no clue what they're doing.
Wow.
And and then on top of that, you know, I collect sales tax, you know, over $1.5 million over 7 years that pays for a lot of these programs. And It's really frustrating looking at how the government continues to grow and becomes worse and worse and more intrusive in what we're doing every day. And I think they just need to back off. I mean,
Scott, I'm going to leave it there because we're running out of time. Greg, I'm going to give you one last word. Then we got to change topic.
Well, I just want to say I feel that listener's pain, and there's a lot of waste in city government. There's a lot of contracts out there given to people, and there's a lot of cronyism, and that's where the money is being wasted. And if we had an efficient government, you wouldn't feel that government is too intrusive. You would feel government's working right for you. So we got to look at what government's doing, because there's a lot of waste out there. Thank you.
A reaction to Governor Cuomo's pension reform proposals from Greg Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237, which represents hundreds of occupational titles and city agencies. He's also a trustee to the board of the New York City Employee Retirement System. And again, we should mention that any of these changes, even if they go into effect, would affect future hires, not anybody who is employed now, just to be clear about that. Greg, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. And up next, why Barack Obama is becoming the first president since JFK to visit Puerto Rico. Stay tuned.